The book of Daniel, chapter number 6. You know, the last three Wednesdays we've been looking in the book of Revelation. On the book of Revelation there in chapter 13, we've been looking at the Antichrist and talking about a lot of the end time stuff there. And you know, you can't do any of that without being in the book of Daniel. As you've noticed, we spend a lot of time in the book of Daniel. So I've been in the book of Daniel an awful lot lately. And so I said, let's go to the book of Daniel and let's do a common familiar portion of Scripture here today in Daniel chapter number 6. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, right? Hey, this isn't just for kids. This is for adults as well. And so we're going to get into this. And I'm going to talk to you today about this, about being faithful when faith is forbidden. Being faithful when faith is forbidden. So here in Daniel chapter number 6, you know the story. There's a plot against Daniel. You know, they're trying to get Daniel out of the way. And they come up with a plot to catch him. And they knew that they could catch him praying, right? In verse number 7, it says, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, right? So for 30 days, they make a position, a petition that the king, that nobody can worship any other god other than the king, or they'll be cast into the den of lions, right? So the decree has been made, and we pick this up here in verse number 10. The decree has been made here in verse number 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. I'm going to talk to you again today about being faithful when faith is forbidden. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house. Lord, grateful again for the truth of your words. Lord, grateful for lessons that we find in your word here today. Lord, I pray that as we look at here at this familiar passage, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, you'll convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And Lord, whatever the case might be, Lord, I pray you'd not let us leave the same way that we came in. But Lord, I do need you. I pray now you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray you use me, give me your words, give me your clarity of thought here today. And you do what you do, and that's to speak to our hearts. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the days of ancient Rome, around AD 320, there stood 40 brave soldiers in the imperial army. One day, their commanding officer demanded something that they could not give: their allegiance to a pagan god. These men were Christian, they were soldiers of the cross, and they refused to bow. These Christian warriors, they said, "Hey, you can have my armor. Hey, you can have my body, but my allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ." As you can imagine, they were threatened, they were imprisoned, they were beaten, they were tortured, and then finally they were sentenced to a cruel and freezing death. Stripped of their armor, they were forced out onto a frozen lake in the dead of night, while warm baths were placed on shore to tempt these men. At any time, they could renounce Jesus Christ and be spared death. But instead, that very cold, frigid night, they huddled close together and they sang their song of victory: 40 soldiers for Christ. That night, that freezing night, 39 men fell to their icy graves. When there was but one man left, he stumbled to the shore and he renounced Jesus Christ. Now here's the story. As that officer that was in charge of guarding those men that night, listening to their singing and their fellowship, that man came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He immediately replaced that man who had renounced Jesus, and he walked out onto the ice. He threw his clothes off and he confessed Jesus Christ. Hey, at sunrise, the Roman soldiers found 40 men who gave their all for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so the question here is today, will you be found faithful? In a world full of compromise, it's there. In a world full of temptations and pressures, will you stand firm for Jesus Christ until death? These men, they gave up their lives. They gave up their lives for Jesus Christ, yet so many today don't even give up a Sunday morning for their Savior. Yet so many today won't even give up 1 hour to go out and be a witness on Saturdays. Not Daniel. Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was a committed man. He was willing to give up his life and even be eaten by lions for his God. Now, if you remember the story of Daniel, if you remember, Daniel was carried away into captivity as a young child. He was carried away from Jerusalem into Babylon when he was just a young man, and he spent most of his life in captivity. Listen, he didn't have any parents to tell him right for wrong. He did not have a completed Word of God like we have today. Right? But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8 that Daniel did what? He purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He had purposed in his heart. And so we read the book of Daniel, we study Daniel, we know that as a young man, Daniel was separated. He wasn't going to defile himself. We read it also in chapter 5 that he was sold out for God. He was sold out. And we read here in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's an old man now. You understand, he has surrendered. He's still surrendered. But he's an old man here. He's in his 80s here. And here's the thing, he lived a good life. He lived a faithful life. What would it matter now if he just compromised just a little bit? Well, Daniel, he would have been, it's okay if he would have just said, "Well, you know what, I used to be faithful. I used to be involved. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be a soul winner. I used to be. But Daniel's in his 80s here, and he doesn't quit. And when that king signed that law that said no one could pray but to him, hey, Daniel didn't hide. He didn't go run and hide. He didn't compromise. He went home and he opened his windows toward Jerusalem, because that's what they were to do, pray towards Jerusalem. And he prayed just like he did aforetime. You see, he knew the cost. He knew what was waiting for him. He knew the lion's den was going to be what was to come. But you know what? Daniel was faithful when faith was forbidden. You might ask why. Why is that? Well, because faithfulness isn't about what's convenient. It's about what's right. You see, too many Christians today, we've become convenient. It's all about what's convenient for me. I mean, you name it, every single one of us, we have our own conveniences. And if it's not convenient for you, you're not going to do it, no matter what. You know, we preach on a soul-winning church. Hey, if you're not coming soul-winning, you're just not going to come, are you? You're just not going to come. But it's all out of convenience. But Daniel didn't change his devotion to fit the culture, right? He didn't lower his convictions to save his life. He remained faithful. He stood faithful in Babylon, just like those 40 men did out on that cold river. And that, let me just tell you, that same Spirit of God, that same Spirit that delivered Daniel, that same Spirit that was with the 40 men, that same Spirit indwells each one of us that's been born again. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If you've been born again at salvation, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You have the very power of God living in you. If you've been saved, you have the author of Scripture living in you. We need to read the Word. We'll understand the Word. If you're saved, you got Him living in you. You see, faithfulness, being faithful isn't just for the lion's den. Okay, being faithful isn't just out there on the frozen lake. Being faithful, faithfulness is for you. It's for me. It's for our homes. It's for our family. It's for our prayer room. It's for our workplace. It's for our lives. Right? And so the question this morning is, will you be found faithful? Will you be found faithful? When faith is forbidden, will you still be faithful? So let's look at this. The first thing I want you to see here is that Daniel is loyal to his God. Daniel is loyal to his God. Look here in verse number 10. There in Daniel chapter 6, look there at verse number 10. It says, now when Daniel knew, right, Daniel knew it. He knew the writing was accomplished. The law was set into place, the decree. All right. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. Get that. Three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. All right. Now, I want you to notice something about the word loyal. Loyal is an adjective. It describes a person. The definition of loyal is basically faithful. Being faithful, right? Being faithful to faith, being faithful to duty, being faithful to love. It's talking about a loyal subject, okay? A loyal subject. Daniel was loyal to his God. He was a man of prayer. We know that by the Word of God. And Daniel was a word of prayer. And that prayer was his source of strength to live in such a wicked environment. Right, we live in a wicked world today. We look around at our world; it's wicked. How can we have spiritual strength in this world? We got to pray. We got to pray just like Daniel did. You see, these things that happened to Daniel didn't catch him off guard. The Bible says he knew. He knew. Daniel knew. He knew the cost. He knew the law was signed. He knew the consequences. But yet he chose. You see, it's a choice. He chose to stay loyal to God. No matter what, he chose to stay loyal. You see, true faith doesn't change just because pressures come. Just because the world gets more wicked, it shouldn't affect our faithfulness. Daniel didn't pray because it was safe. He prayed because it was right. It was right. And so that got me thinking. That got me thinking. What would happen? What would we do if praying became illegal right now? If praying became illegal, would that even affect any of us? Would it change anything in our lives? Would it even affect us? What about if obeying the Bible became punishable by death? What would we do? Would it affect us? But now for Daniel, it was proper for Daniel to disobey the law of the king, because we are to obey God's laws. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 29, the Bible says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Nowhere in the Bible, in Romans 13 or any other passage, are we commanded to obey man's laws over God's. We are to obey God's laws over men. Romans 13, 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God." God's word supersedes man's word, man's laws. And I'm not talking about being rebellious, right? I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm saying we are to be obedient to God. That is to be our first allegiance, is to be obedient to God. Daniel wasn't trying to be a rebellious person. He was just being faithful. He was just being loyal to his God. Here's the thing with Daniel. When you look at Daniel, Daniel didn't wait for this crisis to come upon him before he started praying. The Bible says, as he did aforetime, meaning that this was his custom. This is what he did. When the trials came, Daniel didn't have to change anything. You get that? He just kept on going and praying three times a day like he had been doing. But now, too many Christians today, we don't have a walk with the Lord. We don't have a real walk with the Lord. We don't have a commitment to the Lord, a loyalty to the Lord. And so when that bad news comes and we get a bad news call from the doctor, and we don't know what to do. We're filled with fear, and we start searching here and searching here, and we start turning to Google instead of the Creator God, the ultimate physician. We search for everything else, and we search Google. What does Google say? Well, what does God say? Right? Remember, that didn't go so well with King Asa. Right? King Asa, he sought the physicians instead of the Lord, and he died for it. All I'm saying is there's a time and place for them, but hey, God gets first place. We are to seek the Lord first. Daniel kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And here's the thing that keeps getting me. Daniel's in his 80s here. He's in his 80s, and he's still on his knees praying. He didn't wait for the trials. He didn't wait for the storms in life. He didn't wait for those things to come upon us. He knew in Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray." Three times a day. Evening, morning, noon will I pray. Hey, look here in verse number 11 of our text here. It says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." You see, the enemies knew where Daniel would be. You get that? They knew where he would be, and they knew what he would be doing, and they didn't have to go out of their way for very much or do anything. They just knew where to find him. And so that got me thinking as well. What would we do if our enemies, if the world watched us for one day? Would they find us praying morning, noon, night? Would they find us praying, or would they find us doing this? I'm going to tell you, I do a lot of research, and this is a very time-consuming thing. But most Christians, most people, we just do this, and we think, oh, I'm not doing really anything. But before you know it, you spend 8 hours of your screen time doing this, with no importance to spending any time with God. But I'm just asking, if the world watches, would we be praying, or would we be scrolling? Would we be praying, or would we be worrying about all these things that we're looking at on the news and the weather and everything else that the world is using to keep you in fear? Remember, fear is not from God. Fear is from the devil. You see, we all have time for entertainment. We all have time for social media. We all have time for vacations. But why not 10 minutes of focused prayer? Do we have 10 minutes a day? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But let's start there. Do we pray 10 minutes a day? The enemy, it's interesting, because the enemy did not fear Daniel's power. The enemy did not fear Daniel's position What they feared was his prayer life. Look at verses 4 and 5 there. Verses 4, it says, "But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Verse 5, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." You see, they targeted his prayer life. There was no one, they could only target his prayer life. Why? Because James 5:16 says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, much. You see, there is power in prayer, and Daniel knew that. Daniel knew the power. So let me ask you, is your prayer life powerful enough that the enemy takes notice? Does the enemy notice that you have a powerful prayer life? You've heard this before. If you were put into jail for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All that will live godly. You say, "Hey, preacher, I don't have any persecution. Mine's pretty easy." Well, start living godly. It says right there, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, it says you shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say you might, or hopefully you won't. It says you shall suffer persecution. And let me tell you, when you get out in the weeds and you get out amongst the people and you start preaching Jesus Christ, people are going to be offended. People are going to slam the door in your face. Get over it. Grow up Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and go soul winning and win some people to the Lord. That's what we're commanded to do. Daniel's in his 80s. Everybody wants to know, "Oh, I got this." Everybody has something to do. Right? But are you faithful when faith is forbidden? That's the key. Daniel is our example. We have it. I'm going to tell you, we have it way too easy here. The United States of America, it's a free country. Praise God. You know, I was in the military 20 years. But we have it too easy here in this country. Too easy. So easy that most Christians don't open their mouth at all. Our mouths are mute, but yet you got the Jehovah's false witness who have a false gospel, and they're all over the place. You have people preaching a false gospel, but we have the truth. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? This was a lost and dying world, and as we've been studying the Antichrist on Wednesday nights, we know the rapture can happen right now. When the rapture happens, that's it. Right? The saved will be taken up out of here. The lost will be left behind. And we've seen what's going to take place. But what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? You see, Daniel didn't just claim faith. He lived it. He lived it. Are we living it? Are we living it? Are we living our faith out? Look there in verse number 12. It says here in verse 12, "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" Look there in verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, what an example. That Daniel, what an example is Daniel. Right? Consider how faithful he was in his prayer time. It goes on at the end of that verse 13. It tells three times a day. We know Daniel prayed three times a day. His prayer life was consistent that his enemies could predict it. How many of us have a daily prayer time? How many of us set time aside for prayer? Point number one, Daniel was loyal to his God. And now he's going to be cast into the lion's den. So number two, I want you to see here that Daniel's faith did not waver for his God. Daniel's faith did not waver. Look here in verse 16 and 17. It says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel." We see here Daniel is falsely accused. He's unjustly condemned for doing what? For praying. For praying to his God. And so they take him, They put him into the lion's den. They put a big rock there. And now we have Daniel in the lion's den. We have the lions and we have God. No one else. No one else. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't around. There's no friends to support him now. And so now we can see what Daniel's faith is truly made of. He's in the lion's den. What is his faith going to be now? Will it last? But you know what? We see here that Daniel walked to the den, not with panic, but with peace. In Isaiah 26:3, the Bible says, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." The only way Daniel could walk to the lion's den with perfect peace is because his faith did not waver. Let me ask you, what storm is coming on you today? What sickness, what ailment, what disease, what infirmity is coming upon you today that you're going into the den of lions? What is your faith looking like? Is your faith strong? Do you have that perfect peace? Job said it like this in Job 13:15. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Yet will I trust in him. How strong is our faith? How strong is your faith? Would your faith in God match up to Daniel? Could we go in with Daniel and sit there in the lion's den with him? Does our faith waver? Hey, when it comes time to depend on God, we prayed and we depend on God to heal that loved one of ours or to accept His will, whether He takes them to heaven or He heals them here. Do we have faith to stand on God's will? Do you trust God when the stone is sealed? Do we trust God when that stone is sealed? You see, when all else fails, when all else looks like there's no hope, that's when God really likes to show up. Right? That's when the miracles of God shows up. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verses 9 and 10 says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Verse 10 says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." You see, Daniel's faith did not waver in the face of death. Let me give you the third thing here today. I want you to see that Daniel's faith troubled the king. Daniel's faith here troubles the king. In verses 18 and 19, look there, it says, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." He couldn't sleep. He was having a restless night. Verse 19 says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." Unto the den of lions. Hey, the king couldn't sleep. He was worried. He was concerned. And he goes and sees if Daniel is still alive. And look here in verse 20. It says, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice," a painful voice, right? An uncertain voice. "Daniel, are you alive? Are you a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion?" Hey, Daniel, are you alive in there? And then verse 21 says, "Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever." And in verse 22, you get this here. He says, "My God." He says, "My God." He didn't say, "I." How many times do we say, I? Me. No, Daniel says, "My God has sent his angel." And this is nothing that I can do. This is not anything with me. I didn't beat those lions up. You know, I wasn't like David, you know, and wrestle the bear and all those things. No, he says, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth." Oh, amen. 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 What a relief. What a relief. The king is relieved here. He knew that if anything happened to Daniel, that Daniel's God would bring judgment upon him. He knew. He was worried about that. So let me ask you this. How come our society today isn't afraid of God? How come there is no fear of God anywhere in this world? It's because Christians have not displayed our faith. We've not displayed our faith just like Daniel. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth. Daniel displays his faith. Hey, when the world sees a Christian live on his faith, it's going to trouble them. It's going to perplex them. And when there's no cry of fear from Daniel, the kingdom is perplexed here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how ungodly a society becomes. When they see the faith of a real Christian, it worries them. You know, I was talking with one of the guys here, and he was telling me some stories about his work there. And he was telling me about, you know, how he goes to work, and they call him when he goes home and after hours, and he goes in on his days off, and that how, you know, they talk to him about doing such a good job and all these things. And one of his managers sat him down and says, "What is it? You know, what is the key to success? Why is it you come to work and you get the job done and you don't complain and you're faithful, right?" And the manager was like, "What is it? I want to know." Right? Like there's some secret spirit. And the guy says, "I got born again. I trusted Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian now, and so I work for Him. I want to please Him. I don't care about any of this. I just want to please Him." Amen. You see, when your faith shines, the people are going to be perplexed. And the guy's like, "Oh no, come on, really, what's going on?" Right? Daniel's faith did what no lion could do. It troubled the king. When you walk with God, the world is going to persecute you. The world is going to hate you. But here's the thing. Real faith pleases God. Real faith pleases God. And so who do you work for? Who do you want to work for? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." You see, that faithfulness in our life, the world sees that, and it draws attention to our God. Hey, Daniel's faith didn't waver. He was loyal to his God. No matter what, he was loyal. I got to give you one more thing here. I want you to see, and you know the story. You know how it ends. We know that Daniel was delivered from the lions. Amen. And so last thing here, Daniel was delivered from the lions. Look there at verses 21 and 22. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Here's the thing with Daniel again. Daniel didn't argue his way out of this. He didn't compromise. He didn't come up with some story to get out of going to the lion's den. All he did was simply trust God. All he did was simply trust God, and God delivered him from the lions. And so here is the key to the whole chapter right here. Faith. Faith is what preserved Daniel. He believed that God was either going to deliver him or glorify himself through his death. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Hebrews 11:33 says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." You see, Daniel's deliverance from the lion's den was a direct result of his unwavering faith when faith was forbidden. See, most Christians, we don't ever experience this. We don't ever experience this type of a miraculous work of God, not because God has changed in 2025. God has not changed. God does not change. But because our faith is weak. Our faith is weak. We need to increase our faith. Daniel says there, he says, "Before him innocency was found in me." Daniel wasn't sinless. He wasn't sinless, but he knew how to be clean with God. When you're praying morning, noon, and evening three times, hey, you're gonna have a clean walk before God. 1 Samuel 2:20 says, "For them that honor me, I will honor." Daniel honored his God through faith. And he emerged from the lion's den without even a scratch. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into the fiery furnace? They came out of the fiery furnace and they didn't even smell like smoke. Daniel went into the lion's den and he didn't even have a scratch. Look there in verse 23. It says, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him." Why? Because he believed in his God. You understand that? He believed in his God. He had faith in his God. Hey, you may be here today, and you may feel surrounded by lions. You may be in the lion's den right now. The fears, the doubts, the depression, the loneliness, whatever it might take, whatever it might be, but let me assure you that God is just as real today as He was in Daniel's day in the lion's den. He is the same God, and He can do the same thing to every single one of us here in this room. He can shut the mouth of that lion of fear in your life. He can shut the mouth of the lion of doubt in your life. Whatever it is, there is no problem too big for God to handle. And let me tell you something. Your race isn't over. Your race is not over. You're still in the race. Your race is not over until God says it's over. Daniel, again, is in his 80s. He could have said, "Hey, I'll let the younger one step up. I've done enough." But here's the thing. Daniel remained faithful when faith was forbidden. Let me ask you this. Are you still fighting the good fight? Are you still fighting the good fight? And let me say this. Daniel, he didn't leave behind a bunch of money and a bunch of property for his grandkids. What he left behind was an example. He left an example. What will your grandchildren say about your faith? Will they say, "Grandma and Grandpa, will they believe God till the end?" Are you still trusting God like Daniel? Remember, He rewards those who remain faithful to Him all the way up to the finish line. Fight the good fight of faith. Will you be one of them? Hey, maybe you're here today and you're not sure, 100% sure, you're going to heaven when you die. You're not sure if the day is your last day, if you close your eyes and wake up in heaven. Hey, you can be sure here today. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 that you can know you have eternal life. You see, Jesus came, God's only Son. And He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You see, there is only one way. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You must come to Him or you won't go to heaven. There's not two ways. There's not many ways. There's one. And God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins and my sins and the sin debt of the whole world. He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That is the gospel message. That is the message that saves. You got to believe. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is... For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Hey, you can be sure. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. You can come forward and tell me, "I need to be saved." And we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But hey, maybe you're here today and you say, "I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven." What about your testimony? What about your testimony? What is your testimony? Are you faithful? Have you let the fear of man silence your witness? Have you stopped praying like you once did? Are you walking in faith or are you walking in fear? Daniel was faithful even when faith was forbidden. Let's pray.